Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today's scripture is taken from the book of Hebrews. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. This is a tremendous verse that tells us that God, and he created this earth, this universe, everything that's material out of nothing. And he did it in an instant of time. We know in the book of John, chapter 1, that the creator was actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that he formed these things out of nothing and brought everything into existence. The vast universe with all the stars and the planets and all the things that are out in space. And then this earth and all the things that are here. And he also formed each and every one of us. Each one of us has been created by God, and we have a purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And so this is a wonderful truth that we believe that he created it. We believe one day he's coming back. We believe that he will stand on this earth, and we believe there will eventually be a new heaven and a new earth. And so all these things are promises in the Word of God. We look forward to his soon return.
Day. Helping someone on life's way. From the paths of sin. Bring the wanderers into the master's fold to stay.
Forever to stay.
Help to cheer the lonely and sad. Help to make some pilgrim glad. Let your life so be that all the world may see the joy of serving Jesus with a smile. Are you giving to the world a smile?
A sunny smile.
Helping lessen someone's dreary mind.
Dreary mind.
Do you greet the world with song as through life you pass along? Cheering those whom you may meet along life's way.
Smile every day.
Helping someone on life's way. From the paths of sin. Bring the wanderers into the master's fold.
Forever to stay.
Help to cheer the lonely and sad. Help to make something pilgrim at last.
Make somebody glad.
Let your life so be that all the world may see the joy of serving Jesus with a smile.
Bright, sunny smile.
Oh, yeah. Oldie but goodie.
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio the Dewberries. We have Ben and Alicia. They have a ministry in Belize. I remember when they came into the mission, but we've really enjoyed them. We followed them over the years, and God has really blessed their ministry. And they have a ministry with children down in Belize. And so, Ben, why don't you catch us up and tell us how the Lord did all that for you?
We often get new families that will come and want to join our foster care group. We meet once a month to just watch some training videos and encourage each other and kind of share each other's burdens of caring for these traumatized kids. And we had this young woman come, and she was a Mennonite lady, and she was single, and God had laid on her heart that she should foster. She's a conservative Mennonite. She would be considered still modern, but she wears the bonnet and is quite conservative. And she approached her family in this process, and her family said no, that she couldn't bring this child into their home. And so she went back and she prayed over this, and God just wouldn't let her not have this burden. You know, he had given this to her. And so she went back to her parents, who she was living with. She's in her mid-30s and unmarried, and so she's with her parents helping in their home and such, and she basically feels like God's telling her that she needs to go all in. And so she says, Mom and Dad, like, can I have my inheritance, or can you help me find a home? She has a job, but she doesn't make a lot, and so Her brothers help her find a place. And then she realizes in this process that I'm going to the same church that my parents go to, and she's realizing that they won't be receiving this new child that's of different skin color and from a different part of the world. And so she goes to a church and she asks her church if they would bless her to go to a new church that will receive her child. And it's just, so she has done that. It took her a year, and a few days before we left Belize, we helped place a child with her, and it's been incredible. She's found a new church, people that support her, our foster care network are babysitting for her when she has to go to work and bringing meals and just loving her. It's just incredible to watch when God calls people to different things, and like, this is foster care. And so often there's sacrifice, and there's no financial anything from the government. And so this young woman is making huge sacrifices and is feeling so rewarded at the chance to love this child. And their bond is incredible. And we're just watching as God change things, you know. Even in our Mennonite, we go to a Mennonite church. We are not Mennonite. Our pastor, Brian, he says that we make him uncomfortable, and he's so glad we come to church. and just, he says, just us walking in the door, and we just often will have more kids in our family. We have 8 right now, but sometimes it's 11. One weekend we were 18 kids strong. And he just says, like, it makes us all question, what are we doing for the kingdom? What are we doing with our lives, right? And I hope that, we can continue to serve God. And we're seeing kids come to know the Lord. Almost 95% of the kids that go through the Christian homes that we have in our network, they receive Jesus. We had about 5 kids get baptized this year from the foster care network. God's doing a great work, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
You guys are doing a good job, man. Lord bless you. Let me pray for you. I feel like praying for you. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful report. We thank you for the Dewberries. We thank you so much for the call that you put on our life. We thank you that you answered the call. Lord, I know this is a very hard ministry, a very tough ministry. Lord, they pour out love into these kids, and they just do the best that they can. And we thank you for the network they have, and we thank you for all these children that are being rescued. And Lord, I do pray that you continue to bless this ministry. I pray that even more people will become associated with it, so more kids could be helped. And Lord, I do pray that you give them strength, in a sense, your presence. And I pray that you just bless them day by day and moment by moment in the ministry for which you call them. We commit them in your hands as we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayers and financial support over the years. We continue to need funding to keep this broadcast on the air, and we are praying that God will help us throughout the end of the year to meet our needs. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet entitled Loneliness by June Hunt. It's the best book that I've ever seen on loneliness. And I'm sure that people that are shut in, or people that have an empty nest, or people who are separated from their families can really benefit from this booklet. Let me read some of the persistent characterizations of loneliness. It's just a tremendous thing to be lonely. This book tries to cure that and tries to show you how to help it, and how to build a bridge to God and a bridge to others and other ways to help you in your loneliness. How to be alone but not lonely. You can get your copy by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. bursting of my soul. People, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Greetings to each of you. May God bless and prosper each one according to his perfect will. I would like to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and look at the topic, What About Today? Luke 4 says that when Jesus was baptized in water by John the Baptist, God's Holy Spirit descended like a dove and abode upon him. He then went into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil for a period of 40 days. After which, verse 14 says, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. What great sermons he must have preached! What great works of healings he did! As a result, he became famous. Then verse 16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This was a homecoming, the first since he had become so famous. People came from all around Nazareth to hear this one of their own who had become famous. If you think of the President of the United States making his first visit back to his hometown after an election, this would perhaps coincide. There might be a little more hoopla and fanfare today, but the excitement and anticipation would certainly be very similar. Jesus returned to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Then verse 16 goes on to tell the rest of the story. I read, and Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as his custom was, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Here we read that the people of Nazareth had heard about the great crowds, perhaps, that had gathered to hear Jesus in Galilee. They had heard about his fame, and as most hometown people are, they wondered how he could be so famous. They had watched him grow up, hadn't they? Perhaps many of them had visited the carpenter shop where he worked with Joseph, his supposed father. Certainly there was something different about him, but perhaps few would have thought he would become famous. They came to the synagogue to welcome the hometown boy who had made good. They had come perhaps to reminisce a little and to pat themselves on the back for some small contribution that they might have made to this new famous one. They came to hear some words of appreciation and some oratory that would comfort them in their cold and meaningless traditional religion. For the Jewish faith of that day had deteriorated to a cold and often meaningless set of religious do's and don'ts. They were about to be shocked. Jesus methodically opened the scriptures to the favorite prophecy, perhaps, of all Israel, Isaiah chapter 61. They probably could have recited it along with the reader. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. This was a well-known prophecy of Israel's Messiah to come. People read it, but didn't really believe it. People may have memorized the beautiful words, words of God's promises to his people of a Messiah, of a glorious day of liberty and freedom and restoration for Israel. Pie in the sky, many would say. Always something in the future, some other time, for some other people. The words were repeated, but faith had long since died and was buried under centuries of waiting. Then this Jesus, the one whom they knew had grown up among them, comes home and reads this passage as if he really believes it. He reads God's promises as if they were to be taken literally. Jesus shakes the dust of unbelief that had collected for centuries over God's promises and says, "Today, today is the prophecy fulfilled in your ears." This shocked them. Is this not Joseph's son? How can he talk like this? What was Jesus really saying to them? Well, first, Jesus was saying, God is alive and well and is working right now in the world. Today. Today, the prophecies of God's word are being fulfilled right now. When it seems that nothing good is happening, God is alive. He is working. His word is being fulfilled today, and of course it was. God had sent his own beloved son into the world. Angelic choirs had heralded his birth. Wicked men had tried to destroy him, but God miraculously preserved the infant. So much was happening, but the unbelieving were totally unaware of it. Our day is the same. Scoffers and skeptics deny and dispute, but God's word goes on. First, God is offering salvation today. Today, all those who come to him will be saved, the scriptures say. The apostle Paul declared, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." God is working today. He has forgiven many. He will forgive you if you will come to him. He does not promise to save you tomorrow or next week. That may be too late. But he does promise to save you today if you come to him. For his word promises, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11. And again, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." John 6:37. Don't think that God's salvation is only for some other people and some other time. It's for you now, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. John H. Stockton wrote the words of a great hymn. He wrote, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now." He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you will turn to Christ by believing and accepting his invitation, and that you will do it today. Then, secondly, Jesus was saying God's word, the Bible, can be trusted. It is truth. When he said the scriptures are fulfilled in your ears, he was talking about the scriptures promising a Messiah to Israel. It was not an empty promise. Messiah came. He was rejected by the nation, but he came. The witness to Christ's coming are overwhelming. There is historical evidence. There is biblical evidence. The Church of Jesus Christ is evidence that he came. Even time is measured as B.C. and A.D., before Christ and after Christ. He came as God's word promised, and when he left the world, he promised he would return. Jesus spoke to his disciples on the night before his death. It's recorded in John 14, and he said unto them in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If I go, I will come again." That's certainly clear. He did go. He ascended up into heaven. Acts 1 tells us in verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Jesus is coming again. He promised it. Holy angels of God have promised it. Bible writers have promised it. The Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What great promises. What a great future to look forward to. Pie in the sky? Some would say. But the child of God holds dearly to the promise of our Lord. Expectantly and with anticipation, he looks for Christ's return, for he will return as he promised. Scripture says that we are to watch for his return, Matthew 24:42. That we are to look for his return, Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Scripture says we are to be ready. "Be ye also ready, for in what hour, ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24. Jesus has made many promises in this world. He has promised to receive all who come to him. He has promised to forgive all our sins. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, but to walk with us through all of the joys and troubles of life. He has promised that all things will work together for good to them that love him, Romans 8:28. He has promised to work in our lives by his Spirit, changing us into his great and glorious image. This year, let us believe God and claim his promises and grow up into him in all things, Ephesians 4. What about today? Jesus said God was alive and working in spite of the difficulties they had encountered. Some in Israel believed, some did not. In Galilee, people crowded around him and heard him gladly. In Nazareth, they rejected him. Not much has changed over the years. Today, when the gospel is preached, some believe it, and some don't. In which camp are you, I wonder? Then Jesus said, God's word is absolutely trustworthy. God had promised a Messiah 4,000 years before he came, yet Christ came exactly as prophesied. And all of God's promises are truthful. Yea and amen is how the scriptures put it. Galilee received God's word. Nazareth rejected it. What about today? Not much is different. Walter B. Knight tells of a mechanic who was called to repair the mechanism of a giant telescope. During the lunch break, the chief astronomer came in and found the repairman reading his Bible. What good do you expect from that book? He asked. It's so outdated. Why, you don't even know who wrote it. The mechanic was stunned and looked puzzled for a moment. Then he asked, You surely use the multiplication table in your work, don't you? Of course, the astronomer said. Well, do you know who wrote it? No, I guess not. Then how can you trust it? Because it works, the astronomer replied. Well, that's why I trust the Bible. It works. Friends, let us trust God's word and let it work in our lives this year.
I trust that God used the previous message to bless you and to encourage you and to draw you close to Christ. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned about people who listen, that first of all, they're growing in their faith, which is the main thing, but also that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear in that it points out from Genesis to Revelation that all of us are sinners and we need a Savior, all of us. And the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who left the glories of heaven, came to earth, with a goal of living a sinless life and being the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And he died in your place and he paid the debt for your sins. And because of that, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and you become a brother and sister in Christ and a member of God's family. What a tremendous blessing, what a tremendous relief to have a connection with the God of the universe. You can do that by praying a simple prayer and asking God, asking Christ to come into your life. Remember to order your copy of Loneliness, and you can get your copy of Loneliness by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also hear previous messages of Canada's National Bible Hour on our website at www.missiongo.org, missiongo.org. May the Lord bless you throughout this next week.